5 o'clock hour live from the Auction Community Studios. Happy Thursday to you. First intermission. Coyotes are down to nothing to Columbus in the opener. I was waiting for a comment from the cheap seats over there. I get one.
Listen, I like the direction they're going. Rebuild, tear, like it's going to be such a bad year. Damn it, they're not going to win many games.
It is going to be
But I like struggle. The direction. The direction is it's absolutely the right thing to do.
So we'll keep an eye on that. Thursday night football about to start. And, of course, later tonight it's the deciding game 5 between the Dodgers and the Giants. Looking forward to keeping an eye on that, too. Vance Joseph, defensive coordinator of the Cardinals today. Man, he had a lot of good stuff to say, a lot of stuff we want to kind of present to you. Because the Cardinals' defense has been surprisingly one of the best parts of their team this year. 6th in the NFL in points per game allowed. If you take out the points that the offense gave up, you know, pick sixes or, you know, 109-yard missed field goals returned for touchdowns, that number actually goes down to the number three in the NFL. Number three in the NFL in offensive points allowed by a defense in the NFL. So for Vance Joseph, knowing what Cleveland's going to try to do this week, Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, if healthy, they're going to try to run the ball, and Vance says they're ready for it, and here's why.
To beat this team is to contain the run game. I think they're first, you know, with 185 a game. They're first in carries. They're first in attempts. They're first in explosive runs. They're first in every run category in the league right now. And it's fun to watch because it's old-school football, and it's winning football. You know, it burns clock. Burns the clock, and obviously with our offense, his goal should be to burn the clock and keep Kyler off the field. That should be his plan. Last week obviously was a shootout, you know, for Cleveland, and I think if they can run the football and keep our guys on the sideline, that should be his plan. So I'm expecting that. It's going to be a huge challenge. So we'll see. We'll see.
Always thinking about Kyler Murray, you know?
Yeah, listen, there's no question that running the football accomplishes that, but it also wears out your defense. So if they run the football effectively, yes, it keeps Kyler off the field. It also wears down the defense. You know, it's like a boxer hitting, you know, you a lot of body shots early, a lot of body shots, and then the head will fall.
Yeah.
You know, you run the ball, and next thing you know, you're going to hit some of those big passes later in the game.
It's funny you mentioned that. There was a time during that 49ers game, and I have to go back and look at my notes, but I think it was right around the third quarter where I wondered – and I think I wrote in my notes, is the Cardinals' defense starting to get tired? Because the Cardinals had gone 3 and out, I think, on back-to-back drives.
Two times in a row, yeah.
And the defense was on the field a long time in that third quarter. I think time of possession ended up being like 11-5, 11-4 in the third quarter of the game. And I thought, ooh, is the defense starting to wear down? That the offense needs to do a better part of staying on the field. And the defense needs to get off the field. Otherwise, they're going to wear themselves down in this game. As far as it being a run game from Cleveland, Vance Joseph said today, that's why we drafted Zaven Collins.
I thought he played well last week. You know, he played his most snaps, I think, in the season thus far. This week's going to be huge for him. It's going to be a running game. You know, it's no secret. These guys are going to hand the ball off a ton. So hopefully he's up for the task. He was drafted to do so. So we'll see how he performs. But he's gotten better and better each week.
You were drafted for this reason. Downhill physical run stopper. See that guy? That's your job. I'm not going to have you covering the tight end or, you know, driving back. You stop him. He's going to run the ball. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, that is what Zaven Collins is better at than Jordan Hicks. Jordan's smarter. He can line guys up. But you listen, I still don't think Jordan Hicks is that good of a football player, especially in coverage. He's no good. Zaven is going to be the more physical player at the line of scrimmage stopping the run. I'm looking forward to watching him and see if he can have an impact on this game.
Jordan Hicks might not be that good, but he's still right now the best option for them. I mean, it's hard to knock Jordan. It's hard for me to knock Jordan Hicks right now.
He's given him more than I thought he would have.
When you're talking about how good the Cardinals defense has been so far this year. He's been on the field almost the entire time.
He didn't practice today, right?
He didn't practice yesterday and he didn't practice today.
Yeah.
He was a DNP both days. That's right. Keep an eye on. But every Thursday, so we're playing this Vance Joseph sound for you, the defensive coordinator of the Cardinals. He meets with the media every Thursday. This might be the most interesting, most not gutsy, but most confidence-inspiring thing Vance Joseph has ever said in his Thursday meetings with the media. He was asked about the 49ers going for it on fourth down last week. 5 times they did it. They failed on 4 of the 5. Was he surprised by that? Vance said not at all.
No, I was not surprised. I'm expecting it, guys. You know, if our offense is rolling, right, and scoring 30 points a game, okay, I'm expecting teams to go for four downs, especially when they're fourth and one, fourth and two in the fringe area. That should happen a lot for us, and that's a good thing, you know. And if we're scoring that many points a game and teams are going for fourth down, I don't mind it because I have more calls than he has, in my opinion, you know. So I'm not worried about fourth downs. I mean, fourth down's a tough play to call, you know, from an offensive perspective, because, I mean, he don't know what I'm in. So he can call whatever he wants, and I call whatever I want, and we'll see who wins the down. So I'm not afraid of fourth downs because certain calls he cannot make on fourth downs, right? So I can be really aggressive on fourth down. If it's fourth and two or three, I can sell the form. If it goes to be a nine ball or a streak ball, so be it. You know, he won't get it off probably, so I'm not afraid of fourth downs. You know, offensively, I think it's a tough down for those guys because they're guessing what I'm doing.
Almost sounds like a quarterback who wants to be blitzed. Blitz me. Go ahead. I dare you. Blitz me. You want to play a fourth down? Go ahead. I got more. Yeah. He wants that. Like, it's almost like the juices get flowing, the blood's boiling. You want to go for a fourth down? Okay.
Yeah.
You think you're going to get a fourth down on me? Okay.
Like, you're almost taking it personally.
Yes.
Like you're challenging me. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
You think you're going to pick up these 2 yards against my defense?
I see what you're doing. All right. Fine. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. It's big talk. His defense has backed it up so far this year. Sixth best in the NFL in fourth down percentage allowed. The Arizona Cardinals on offense have not failed on a single fourth down this year. They are batting 1,000 when it comes to
which is why it's so odd that Vance said what he said. So confident that it plays to his benefit if a team goes for it, where we've seen so many teams have success on fourth downs in the NFL. So many teams having success, and Vance is like, no, it's to the defense's advantage. It's my advantage. He's only got a limited amount of calls he could go to. I've got everything.
I like the confidence.
Oh, me too. I liked it a lot.
I really, really do. And as the season wears on, if this defense continues to perform at this level, boy, you're right. There's going to be, given that he's already been a head coach in this league, given that a team might look at him and say, okay, let's give him another shot. Look at what he did with that Cardinals defense. Wouldn't be surprised if he's in the conversation for a job opening here or there.
Oh, yeah.
If this, and you've said that a few times. Mm-hmm. I'll give you the credit for saying that. It was your thought, not mine. But this defense has been such a pleasant surprise this year with how they've played. Because for me, we can look at every single metric. And I get it. The run defense hasn't been great. And that's going to really be tested this week against Cleveland. I totally get that. At the end of the day, you look at points per game allowed. The Cardinals are sixth in the NFL.
Should we be surprised? That defense got a lot of credit last year for how well they played.
They did.
We were always raving about it. There were games last year that they won with their defense. We were raving about the defense.
I'm gonna maintain that I'm surprised because I was so worried about the secondary.
Yeah.
And I was so worried about Zaven Collins being the starting inside linebacker without having ever really earned the job. Now, I know that hasn't happened, but going into the season, I thought the defense was actually primed to maybe go back a step or two because of the state of the secondary and the unprovenness of the linebacking core in the middle with Zaven Collins and Isaiah Simmons. I was worried they were going to be worse.
I haven't thought about this guy in a few weeks since they played him, but I wonder if Patrick Peterson said anything about the 5-0 Cardinals on his podcast.
It has been refreshing
to not talk about his podcast.
Like jumping in a cool pool of water on a hot, sunny day. To not talk about Patrick Peterson and his All Things Covered podcast. Ah, it's so nice. It's so nice.
It is.
We don't have to talk about it.
Yeah, I'm not even paying attention if he's doing well or not.
I have no idea.
Because I just don't care.
But you know what? I'm going to look it up during the commercial break.
Okay.
I'm kind of curious to see how he's doing.
Okay, you do that.
Sure, the run to the NBA Finals was exciting, but according to Chris Paul, there was another reason why re-signing with the Suns was such an easy decision, and it might surprise you a little bit what he had to say. That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show. All right, two quick loose ends to tie up, especially if you were listening in the last segment. Loose end number one, Coyotes are now trailing 3-1 in their season opener against Columbus.
They scored a goal.
Awful turnover by the Coyotes led to a 3-0 deficit, but then almost immediately, Anton Stallman,
yes,
with the goal Stallman to make it 3-1. Yep. So Coyotes, just 2 minutes into the second period, are losing to the Columbus Blue Jackets 3-1 in the opener. And then I did look it up, and this is according to ProFootballFocus.com and their metrics, their grading system. If you were with us in the last segment, you asked, so I looked. Patrick Peterson has been targeted 25 times. He's given up 16 catches.
That's not good.
For 241 yards, a passer rating against of 122.3.
Man.
When targeting Patrick Peterson, quarterbacks have a passer rating of 122.3. That is the second worst on the Minnesota Vikings roster. Only Bashaud Breeland is worse. Quarterbacks are nearly perfect when throwing at Bashaud Breeland. 147.2 is what they are. So,
wow.
You asked, I delivered. Those are Patrick Peterson's numbers so far. If you had said to me 2 years ago, 3 years ago, let's say right before they hired Monty Williams, okay? 3 years ago, that one of the generation's best players, and arguably one of the best players in the history of the NBA, would rave about the culture of the Phoenix Suns. Would you have ever bought it? Would you have ever thought that's a possibility? Would you?
You know what? To be honest with you, yes. But it was going to take some grown-ups in the room, and that was James Jones. That was Monty. You couldn't, you know, and Robert knows that he made some mistakes with some of the hires going with Robert always figured if I have a young team, I need a young coach because they were always going with younger players, Dragan Bender and Marquise Chris and just over and over and over again. So many young players, Alex Len, they were just drafting guys and Josh Jackson. And eventually he figured it out that I need a grown up in the room. So I wouldn't have said that it was never impossible, but it was a long stretch of guys that were unhappy here and didn't want to be here. Trevor Ariza and Goran Dragic wanted out, and Eric Bledsoe wanted out, and Marquis Morris wanted out, and Marcus Morris wanted out, and I might be missing a couple, but they were always that was a rough time.
Yeah,
it was a rough time.
Yeah, the culture felt like it was completely sideways. And look, things change in a hurry. With the Phoenix Suns, things change so fast. Here's the guy I'm referring to. Chris Paul was on SportsCenter today, and he was also did an interview with TheUndefeated.com in which he said similar things. What went into him re-signing with Phoenix this offseason, other, obviously, than the Suns, you know, 2 wins away from winning an NBA championship?
A few things. Of course, family. My family's in L.A., so being close to them obviously was a big part of the decision. But the biggest part is basketball. It's hoop. I love to play basketball. We have such a great family environment here in Phoenix, from all the guys on the team to the coaching staff. Our culture is something that I really fell in love with, and I'm happy to be here.
Culture. And it's he doubled down on that later in the interview.
I had a pretty good idea going into it because I played for Coach Monty 10 years ago in New Orleans, Willie Green, and then my relationship with Devin Booker. Once I got there, he started raving about DeAndre Ayton, Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, all the different guys. It was seamless, man. It's nothing like being on a team, especially when you guys are somewhat like family.
There's other things too, right? I mean, travel, meals, daycare, practice facility. All of that stuff leads to a better culture. The players, you go above and beyond to make sure everybody's comfortable, that they have what they need. You know, all of that stuff, pre-game meals, meals after the games, meals on the planes, all of that stuff matters. The food matters, the travel, how you travel, when you travel, that stuff matters. This new practice facility is one of the best, if not the best, in the NBA. Before, they didn't have a good practice facility. Now they've got one of the best. So, you know the old practice facility. It was.
You can't even call it a facility.
It was just the YMCA. I mean,
it was just an extension of the arena. It was just a spare basketball court off of the arena, off to the side. It wasn't a training facility.
No.
Not like they have now. And look, I know yesterday we got a lot of attention. We had Robert Sarver on the show, and we got a lot of attention for him not saying anything at all about the DeAndre Ayton situation or the Mikal Bridges situation. And I don't want to revisit that conversation necessarily, other than to point out that he clearly did not want to talk about it. But one of the things that Robert did say when we weren't talking about the contractual situation was, look, does winning bring on good chemistry? Does good chemistry bring on winning? I don't know. He said, I tend to think it's a little bit of both at the same time kind of happening, and that's what's happened with the Phoenix Suns. And I will say, for all of the hand-wringing that's going on right now among the Suns fans, and there's, man, if you're on Twitter, there's a lot of Suns fans who are just filled with angst about what's going on with Ayton and Mikal Bridges and with this deadline coming up on the 18th. But to hear Chris Paul in the middle of all of that, okay, go on national TV and talk about how great the culture is in Phoenix, it does kind of paint this picture of, look, I know everyone's upset about Ayton. I know everybody's upset about Mikal Bridges. But you've got one of the best players in the history of the league going on national TV and saying, man, the culture here is awesome. Culture is here. It's from top to bottom. It's great. You have to factor that into this.
Yeah, to the point where now if you leave Phoenix, you might be going somewhere that's a lot worse. Like, we haven't thought about it like that. But if you're Mikal and DeAndre, chances are if you leave to go somewhere else, you're going to go to a worse situation. You're going to go to a worse situation. You're going to go to a team that's not as good. You're going to go to a team that doesn't have the culture that you have and the chemistry that you have. So you're going to a situation that's not as good. So, like, whether that factors in or not, I still think that for a young player like that, the big theme is going to be money. Okay? It's going to be money. For Chris, could Chris have made more money somewhere else? It's possible.
Probably.
It's possible.
Maybe.
Yeah.
More guaranteed money, maybe.
For the younger guys like Mikal and DeAndre, man, they want to get that first big catch.
Yeah.
They want to get that. That's the number one priority for them.
And look, I'm not bringing up the culture, and I'm not bringing up Chris Paul's comments to give off this everything is awesome Lego movie kind of vibe right now about the Suns. Not everything is awesome right now. This Ayton thing is kind of hanging over the organization. This Mikal Bridges thing is kind of hanging over the organization. And if they don't get anything done, what happens next, I think we'll all be curious to see. I want them to get this piece of business done before the season starts because it will be a real potential distraction if they don't. That being said, there's a lot of good things that have happened around here, and I don't want this Ayton situation to completely detract from that, right? I don't want this Ayton situation to completely obscure everything good that has happened with this organization in the last 2 years because there's been a lot of good. Be a lot better if they got Ayton and Bridges under contract, but there's been a lot of good that's gone down around here.
You'd be more worried if Chris Paul had said something about, you know, we hope it gets done. We're a little, you know, if Chris Paul had said anything to the contrary of how great the chemistry is,
yeah,
you know, then maybe you'd be a little concerned. But what he said, I think it, not that it puts it to bed, but it makes you feel a lot better that everything's going to be okay.
Text us your thoughts on the state of the Suns roster, the FanDuel text line that's open for you, 620-620. You can text us right now. When we come back, last week, he filled in on the fly and did a solid job. But this week, Max Garcia going to get an even bigger test in trying to replace the injured and outstanding Rodney Hudson. We'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Sometimes you just see one quick little kind of nugget and it sparks an idea of something to talk about. And that was the case when I saw this tweet this morning from Kyle Odegaard. Used to write for azcardinals.com. Now he writes for a gambling website, which, by the way, for what it's worth, I read a story today on profootballtalk.com that suggested that might become a real trend. Like one of the sports books.
You were telling me that they could go after some of the ESPN personalities.
Like Schefter or Woj, perhaps.
For the sports book,
yeah, to produce like multimedia content
for them,
and that because their status is insiders. Now Woj was just a suggestion, but the report I'd read on Pro Football Talk really suggested that there's a lot of scuttlebutt around the industry that they're going to go hard after Schefter when his contract is up at ESPN.
Just make sure that he doesn't give all the stories to all the people he's talking about and make them edit them first.
Yeah, so Kyle Odegaard, congratulations. You might be a trailblazer when it comes to this. He tweeted out, he still tweets an awful lot about the Cardinals because he spent so many years writing for azcardinals.com. So he's a really good follow. I took a screenshot of this. Backup center Max Garcia didn't allow a quarterback pressure after taking over for Rodney Hudson against the 49ers. Now, that's an interesting note on a couple of occasions. One, Rodney Hudson's not playing this week, and Rodney Hudson hadn't given up a pressure. I don't know if he did against San Francisco. I'd have to look. But going into the San Francisco game, he was, the only starting offensive lineman in the entire NFL who hadn't given up a single pressure at all?
I think that's right.
In the end, I believe that was the stat about Rodney Hudson. So Hudson goes out with the injury.
So the streak continues with center.
In a way, right? Now you're going up against a Browns defensive line, and this is I'm combining screenshots here of things I saw on social media today. Teams with the most sacks in the NFL. The Browns are tied for third. So you're going up against a team that's tied for the third most sacks in the NFL. You're doing it with a backup center who also played a real clean game in an emergency last week against San Francisco.
But he's not your typical backup. He's a guy that's got a ton of starts under his belt. Been a starter in this league for he's not your typical fifth-round pick that's been in a league for 2 years at your backup. He is this is what I like about this team. I mean, Max Garcia is a veteran player who's got a lot of starts under his belt, a lot of games under his belt. He has
started 42 out of 83 games in his career.
Right.
Just looked it up.
Yeah, that's not the, hey, our backup is a fifth-round pick because he's cheap. You know, our backup is a sixth-round pick. That's not who he is. 42 starts. I mean, 16 in a season, that's almost 2.5, 3 years of starts under his belt.
When he was in Denver, he basically was the starter there for three of his 4 years. I mean, his first year he wasn't. He started 5 of 16. But then the next 2 years at left guard started 16 out of 16 and 16 out of 16. And then the next year it started to tail off a little bit.
He'll be 30 years old next month. So he's a veteran player. It's been in the league. It's got a lot of starts. So you're not putting somebody in. You're not replacing Rodney Hudson with somebody who's raw and green and is just 2 years out of college. You know, that's the difference with this team. I like their back. When I say I like their depth, it's not that I like some young guy who's got potential. It's that they've got guys that can play.
Yeah. Cliff, remember what he had said yesterday about Hudson being out. And Rodney Hudson has already been completely ruled out for this game. He won't play at center for the Cardinals. Will the scheme be any different now that Hudson's out?
But I'm not sure if you can replace him as far as helping the plays be effective. I mean, he was such a great presence for us in pass protection and in the run game. It's hard to account for not having him in there as a play caller.
At the beginning of that, I didn't have the button pushed, but at the beginning of it, he basically said, I don't think the scheme changes. It's just that his recognition of what's going on out there, he's so good at it, he's so elite at it, that we're going to have to account for that. Kelvin Beachum, presumed starting right tackle when healthy, was asked about not having Rodney Hudson out there today. Here's what he said.
It changes a couple things, but at the same time, we got to find a way to execute with the people that we have playing this week. Double D at tight end, Max inside. You know, Max played center for us all during training camp, came in for us, to end that game and play really well. So excited to see what him, you know, what he's going to be doing, you know, as a full-time starter at center.
And to your point, backups when called upon?
You know, I think that's a testament to the depth on this team. You know, we've had a chance to have people step in. They find a way to deliver. You know, first impressions matter. And we have a chance to go in and put great tape out there and put the best foot forward. All I think that does is bode well for you as an individual and bode well for our team.
Now, you look at the depth chart, you're not going to see a third-string center.
No.
So you look at the depth chart, you're like, okay, what happens if Max Garcia gets banged up and can't play? Well, their options would be Harlow and Justin Pugh in a pinch. You know, Justin's never played center in the NFL, but he could do it, and maybe not well, but he could do it if he had to. And Harlow could handle that role a little bit too. So, you know, those guys might be getting a little extra snaps just in case. You got to make sure you have a backup center. You might have them, you know, snap the ball a few times and things like that. Because if Max went down now, I think you're the guys that would play, I think Harlow would be your first choice, and I think Justin Pugh would be your second choice.
The one thing I do like about this matchup, I'm not happy that Rodney Hudson's not going to play. All due respect to Max Garcia, because he did play very well when he had to come in last week for Rodney Hudson. Kelvin Beachum was limited in practice today, was limited yesterday. He spoke to the media today. It kind of sets up this presumption that he'll probably play. So maybe the Cardinals' offensive line kind of takes a step back to getting a little bit more towards its normal alignment outside of Rodney Hudson at center.
Yeah, that's true.
Beachum at right tackle. Josh Jones moves back inside, presumably to right guard. Pugh and DJ on the left side. The one thing, and I know we've had really nice things to say about him so far this year, man, Josh Jones really struggled last week.
It's 2 weeks in a row where it's probably 2 weeks in a row where he hasn't played great. Listen, growing pains for, you know, that is the one young player on the line. I mean, Justin's a veteran, been in the league forever. DJ's a veteran. Beachum's a veteran. you know, Hudson's a veteran. That's the one young guy that you have that you have a lot of, he's got a lot of talent, a lot of skill, but there's a lot to learn.
Plus, he's been doing a lot of hopping around, too. He's the right guard. He's right. And I know that's common. You know, it's fairly common for offensive linemen. They have to move around like that. But for a younger player to move around like that, it might be a little bit more of a challenge for him as opposed to a guy who's been around for as long as a Max Garcia has or a Justin Pugh has. You can move him here, you can move him there, and it's going to be okay. For a guy like Josh Jones, this is really basically his first year. He played a little last year. He didn't play a lot. So as a first year full-time player to bounce back and forth between right guard and right tackle, it might have caught up with him a little bit these last couple of games.
Probably. Caught up with him a little bit. Yeah, you might want to like settle him in for one position and let him go.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
For a while, perhaps.
Wait, this goalie for the Coyotes, oh my God.
I
might bring out the limo for this guy early. I haven't used the limo in a while. Can I do it after one game? Oh, this Hutton. When Hutton speaks, don't listen.
He's not E.F. Hutton, is that what you're telling me?
When Hutton speaks, don't listen. Oh, my God, this guy, he couldn't stop a puck to save his life.
5-1, 5 minutes to go in the second.
I think he had 1 win and 10 losses for Buffalo last year.
In a season opener.
We're going to have to pull a goalie in the first game of the season.
Might be time to reassess. Are you calling? You're not actually going to do it, are you?
I don't know. I mean, if he stays in the game and he gives up 9 goals...
Sure. For the Coyotes, is it the limo or do you call the Zamboni and just pick him up on the Zamboni?
Zamboni?
This is rough. Shot score.
Well, and here's
shot
the thing.
Score.
The Coyotes have actually outshot Columbus. The Coyotes have 20 shots. Columbus has 17. He's going to have 5 goals and 17 shots.
Jeez.
I'll be the first to admit I don't know hockey all that well. 5 goals and 17 shots is not a ratio you can live with.
I don't think that seems real good.
Yeah.
Dave Burns, Hockey Analytics.
You know what? I'll tell you, that's right. That's me.
There you go. Breaking news. 5 goals given up on 17 shots is not very good.
Me and the folks at 538.com, we've concluded that I've run the simulations, Cynthia Freeland and I, and 5 goals and 18 shots is not going to cut it in the NHL.
You notice he went with Cynthia Freeland instead of your guy up in Seattle?
She's the analytics person at NFL.com. She runs the simulations at NFL. Are you suggesting something?
At NFL. This is hockey. We're not talking NFL right now.
I have no
what
idea.
What about Kevin Pelton?
I couldn't.
He runs simulations.
Yeah, he's an NBA guy. I don't know. I think analytics, Cynthia Freeland was the first person who came to mind.
God, this guy. My goodness.
It's pretty bad. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, they have been the two best teams in all of baseball this season, and one of them, their season is going to end tonight. Who's going to win between the Giants and the Dodgers? And is it fair that one of their seasons is going to end tonight? That's next on the Burns and Gambo show.
Life is not fair.
True. What's on tonight? It's brought to you by Vizzy Hard Seltzer, the only hard seltzer crafted with antioxidant vitamin C. Proud sponsor of your Arizona Diamondbacks. I've actually got 3 things for you to watch tonight. One of them is the Coyotes season opener in Columbus. Game that started at 4 o'clock this afternoon. They are losing 5-1.
What time did this game start?
4 o'clock.
It was over by 4:01.
They gave up a goal in the first, 40 seconds of the game?
40 seconds.
Yeah. They're losing 5-1 right now with about a minute to go in the second period. They've given up 5 goals on now 19 shots. So Cynthia Freeland is on line one, and she's telling me that their analytics are getting better when it comes to that.
Okay.
Their goals allowed to shot ratio is going down right before our very eyes. That's on tonight. You got Thursday Night Football is on tonight.
I told you I got the Eagles tonight, right? I got the Eagles tonight.
Did mention that. And in this game so far, it's 7-7.
Yeah.
With 3 minutes to go in the first quarter, interestingly enough, given how much we've talked about tight ends this week, both tight ends have scored touchdowns in this game. O.J. Howard for the Bucs, Zach Ertz for the Eagles. For what it's worth. Just saying.
Tight ends have been on the mind since the Cardinals lost Max
Pretty
Williams.
Much. And then later tonight, coming up, in fact, in about 15 minutes, it is the ultimate Game 5 between the L.A. Dodgers and the San Francisco Giants.
Listen, here's the deal. I'm going to give everybody the hint, right? You're watching the game, you're watching it, and it's the bottom. If the Dodgers are winning and it's the bottom of the ninth inning, there's 2 outs and a guy hits a pop up to left field, just change the channel before you can see the Dodgers celebrate. I've learned this. It's a good lesson. It keeps me calmer and less stressed. But if you hate the Dodgers, which many of you do, and they're going to win this game, I'm hoping they don't. But if they're going to, just don't let them. Don't ever watch them celebrate. And it didn't happen.
That advice, the first time you busted out that advice, believe was game six of the NBA Finals against the Bucks. First time I'd ever heard you say that out loud. I don't watch the celebration. I refuse to watch the celebration.
I've been doing it for years.
I turn it off. You busted out that advice for that game for, it was a recent game too. Was it the wild, I think it was the wild card game.
Yankees, Red Sox.
Might have been that one, or it might have been the next night with the Dodgers and the Cardinals, where you turn it off right
turn
before
it
the
off
celebration.
Right before the celebration. Okay. I never see him celebrate. The team you hate, if you have to watch them, you never see him celebrate. So with the Red Sox and the Astros, I'm going to turn it off before it starts. Right before it starts, I'm going to turn it off.
We are in real danger here. We're in a danger zone. Gemba loves baseball. I love baseball. I love October baseball. I'm not as passionate about this as he is, but I'm going to tell you right now, if the Dodgers win tonight and you're talking about the final four in baseball being comprised of the Red Sox, the Astros, the Dodgers, and the Braves.
I'll watch Braves.
You'll watch them, but you, three of your most four hated teams, not just in baseball, in all sports.
All the sports.
In the Dodgers, the Astros, and the Red Sox.
Yeah.
The final four in baseball will be filled with three of your most hated four teams in all of sports.
I just figured if we do baseball segments, you'll do the AL and I'll do the NL. the AL.
That's how this is going to work?
And I'll do the NL.
The Bucks just scored again, a touchdown pass to Antonio Brown.
He's having a good year.
Yeah, he has.
He's having a good year.
14-7, and we're still in the first quarter in this game. So San Francisco and the Dodgers tonight. And I'm sure Gambo will actually talk about the American League Championship Series, we think. I don't know. You might be contractually obligated to do it. You're looking at me like you're not going but
I'm serious. I'm not watching any of the games. I'm not joking. I'm not watching any of the games.
Come on. You love baseball. You're not going to watch the American League Championship Series at all?
Not one game.
Wow.
Not one game.
And you are devoted to your hatred. I have never met anybody who worships at the altar of his own personal sports hatred more than John Gambadoro. Man, you make a religion out of it.
I think it's where I grew up. And just to be honest, I do. I think it's where I grew up, and that the hatred and the passion you have for your teams and the enemies that you of the teams that you hate those teams so bad. Like, you know, it's almost like a death in the family when they win.
And I want to make sure I'm clear. Not hatred in general, you know, because you're not a hateful guy at all. But when it comes to the sports stuff,
yes.
Oh, yeah, man. San Francisco won 107 games this year. L.A. won 106 games this year. They've met on a baseball field 23 times this year. The Giants have won 12. The Dodgers have won 11. This is about as evenly drawn up as you could get two teams to be drawn up in this one. And in a real interesting twist right before the game, not right before the game started, but about 6 hours ago, Dave Roberts decided he was not going with Julio Urias in tonight's game. He will, in fact, start Corey Knebel tonight.
Yeah.
And make it, he'll be like the opener to prevent Gabe Kapler from stacking his lineup with a bunch of righties against the lefty in Urias. And he even texted Gabe Kapler last night to tell him he was going to do it.
I'm going to do this just so you don't show up at the ball. I'm just letting you know this is the guy I'm going to start. Now, if you're Kapler, you could just assume that he's going to go to Urias, right, at some point. So. Nobody's hitting for the Giants anyway, outside of Chris Bryant and it's one other guy that's hitting. Chris Bryant and somebody else.
Posey and Bryant.
Yeah, Longoria's not hitting. Nobody's hitting.
Crawford's hitting a little, but
like
not
250.
Yeah,
he's not doing anything.
Everybody else is like hitting nothing at all right now.
Bryant's played well. Posey's played well offensively. Nobody else is. So I don't know how much it really affects them, to be honest with you.
Giants as a team in the series are hitting .184. L.A. in the last four games, in games 2, 3, and 4, they've outscored San Francisco 16-5.
Logan Webb hasn't lost at home all year.
I hope you're right,
man. All year he has not lost.
We're out of here. The Big Red Rage with Zach Allen is next. We'll see you tomorrow. It's straight up 2 o'clock here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Have a great night, everyone.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.